Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, Raising Your Children in Grace. And now with the Word, here's Beverly.
All right. Now, I know John's opened up a whole can of worms in a whole lot of areas. You're thinking to yourself, well, where do I go? I've got to operate in grace, and I've got to be this kind, gentle, wonderful, hearing God person all the time, you know. And I'm never allowed to get angry, and I'm never allowed to get frustrated, and I'm got to walk around with these wonderful spiritual answers all the time. Relax. Just live. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God's going to show you. One of the things the Lord had to show us, and I'm going to kind of hit a lot of things here in the last half an hour that we've got together. But one of the things the Lord had to show us, that we weren't to have rules in our house. Now, I know that shakes your little foundations here. We never had rules. We had boundaries. Big difference. Rules are like, if you break this rule, this is going to be your punishment for breaking this rule. We never had rules. Our kids, even when they were growing up, and I'm going to go back and lay the foundation for this, even when Tracy started to date and go out to youth group, we never said, you've got to be in by such and such a time. Like, you got a curfew, 11 o'clock is your curfew. We never, ever said that to our kids. We said, you've got to hear the Spirit. And we asked only that if you're going to be after 11 o'clock at night, that you call us, tell us where you are, and more or less what time you're going to be in. So we were training them. You see, all of our lives, my kids, all the way growing up in the umbrella of our home, we saw it as a training, a mentoring, a discipling. I'm pouring my life into my children because when they hit college, they are free to do exactly what they please. And so many kids, and our kids told us this when they got to ORU, I mean, so many big, you know, all the big Christians, big preachers send their kids to ORU. And when the kids get there, they go wild. I mean, they party. Okay, it's a Christian school, but they party, they drink, they do all the stuff, they break the curfews, they do all that stuff. And these are like the big name, and I'm not going to mention one of their names. Because God in His grace brings them all around. But why do your kids want to go through that? You see, the law brings rebellion or hypocrisy. Only grace can effect change in their lives. Only grace can do that. So, we never had rules. We had boundaries. Now, I'm going to say this. My kids knew boundaries. My kids learned to respect adults. I'm telling you, if that's one thing, that's a little bandwagon that I want to jump up here and I want to jump up and down on, because you need to teach your kids respect. And they learn respect at home. My kids learned respect for mom because dad was mom's protector. If they back, what do you say? We call it cheeky. If you sassy, back talk mother, they had to deal with dad. They, you know, many times the mother is the one who deals mostly with the kids because father's out working and so on. But I'm telling you, my kids learned respect at home. So I never had problems with respect when my kids went to school. They knew to respect their teacher. They knew to respect authority. They knew to respect the pastor, the Sunday school teacher. They knew to respect all adults. My kids learned to look adults in the eyes when they were spoken to and not fiddle and, you know. Because my kids learned respect at home. My kids learned that they did not back mouth an adult. Now, I know I'm jumping on a few corns here, but I'm telling you, you've got to teach that stuff at home. It begins at home. And if you've got kids running around wild at school and running around wild at church, your problem is at home. It's not at church. So mother and father, I'm telling you, that's where it begins. We didn't have rules, but we had boundaries. And one of the boundaries was you teach your children respect. You teach them to honor and respect property in your house so that when they go to somebody else's house, they just don't tear up somebody else's house. I mean, there were boundaries. It wasn't rules, but my kids knew, especially when they were little. And now I realize we are covering the whole spectrum of childhood, and it's almost impossible to do. But my kids learned that they didn't go and eat and drink on the couch in front of TV. They ate and drank in the kitchen. It was just one of the boundaries because they were just going to mess. and they needed to have respect for my property as well as for their property. They didn't just tear up their toys. We didn't allow that destructive nature in children. I mean, there were boundaries set in our home, but there weren't rules. When God began to teach us about hearing His voice, I knew that in my spirit, it was one of the biggest lessons I could ever teach my children was how they could hear the voice of the Spirit for themselves. And this, you know, let's see, Bradley is 23 right now, and it was when he was about 7 years old, so that makes 14 years ago. Is that right? No. 16 years ago. My math's not very good. 16 years ago, God began to show me that it was my privilege to hear His voice every day. Not just when I come to church, not just when I'm reading my Bible, not just when I'm listening to the preacher, not just when I'm listening to a tape, but I could hear Him because the Spirit of God dwelt within me and He was my constant companion and I could just commune with Him all the time and He was speaking to me and I was speaking to Him and I was learning to walk in peace and I was learning to walk listening to His voice. I was learning to walk as a sheep walks with a shepherd, listening to the voice of the shepherd. And I've shared this on other tapes, but I'm just going to go back over the ground of this. In John chapter 10, it says, my sheep hear my voice. And God began to show me that that was my destiny. That was my inheritance. And I could hear His voice on every area of my life. And He began to tell me to teach my children how to hear His voice as well. And one of the things I had to start to teach them, and the way I started to teach them was they had to learn through my example. I'm telling you, they had to learn through my example. So I began the day, Lord, what should I wear? What should I put in my kids' lunchbox today? What should I make for supper today? I included God in everything in my life. And then I began to just speak about it. I mean, we'd go driving or we're going to go to the mall or shop. And the Lord just showed me to do this. And the kids would be in the car and I'd say, well, Lord, where should I park? And I'd just speak out loud. Well, Lord, where's our parking place? And my kids would kind of look like this, you know. Well, Mom, what are you asking God for? But I began just to allow the inside things that were going on in my spirit to come out because I knew I was teaching them through my life. Much more than if they were just listening to a sermon. So it is like we're walking down the mall. Well, Lord, which shop should we go in? And Tracy's like, her little ears just picked up. Well, Lord, I'm putting on my spiritual ears. And I've got these big plastic ears that sometimes when I speak about hearing God, I've got these big plastic ears that I hold up. And I could just tell her little elephant ears were coming, her spiritual ears were just picking up. Well, Mom, how about going here? Well, you know, it began an exciting adventure for all of us. Just to hear the Spirit of God in everything that we did. You know, I remember the day I was driving Brad to school one day. Brad and Trace to school. Brad was sitting in the front row, in the front seat. And, you know, like God is in everything. He began to show me. He is in the clouds. He is in billboards. He is in colors. He's in numbers. God can speak to you through every part of everything that you see. God is in everything. And if you've only got eyes to see and ears to hear, He'll begin speaking to you through the most amazing things in your life. I mean, you remember that little billboard, they're not as popular now, but it was an Allstate commercial with big hands like this with a little house and a mama and dad and a girl and a boy, and they were just big hands. And I remember seeing that and I was saying, oh, look what God's saying. He's holding us in the center of His hand. And there's nothing can come to us today that isn't going to first come through His hand. And I began to just see those billboards that said, we're only a telephone call away, you know, only a call away, AT&T or whatever. And I would just interpret whatever I saw to my kids. And I remember the one day we were driving to school and they just retarred this one part of the road. And they had these big signs outside the road that said fresh oil, like caution, fresh oil. And I turned to Bradley and I said, Bradley, fresh oil. Holy Spirit, we receive your fresh oil today. And I mean, he kind of rolled his eyes and he kind of smiled this little, oh, that's mother. And I know the kids used to talk, oh, isn't mother little, you know. But I'm telling you, this day, my kids hear God. in things like it. And I just said, Bradley, let's receive his fresh oil. Zap, I put my hand on his chest. I said, Lord, fresh oil for Bradley today as he goes to school. I guarantee you, I will lay my head in a block if I was a betting woman. Every time Bradley sees that sign to this day, he thinks about the fresh oil of the Spirit that he's receiving. I'm telling you, he does. And I remember that same day, we were looking up at the clouds. And Bradley had just been learning about nature and so on. He was about in the fourth grade. And there were these ferrous clouds. You know what a ferrous cloud? Like a feathery cloud. And I looked up and I was, to this day, I can remember it like it was yesterday. Because you know what? I still do this. I still do this. I looked up at the heavens. I said, oh, Bradley, look. Look at those clouds. Psalm 91 says we are covered and we are sheltered under the shadow of his wing. Bradley, that's his wing. His wing is over you today. He says, Mother, those are called ferrous clouds. I've just learnt about them. It means feathery. I said, yes, Bradley, but listen, in the spirit realm, it means the wing of God. I'm telling you. And I taught my kids through the little bitty every day where they live, where they're at, what they see with their eyes. It's like they had to learn that they were covered. You know, that day, I remember it. Bradley came home that day. And he said, Mother, I was just covered with his wing all day today. And it was like show and tell. I mean, he had something to share with his kids. John shared this, but when the Lord began to talk to us about the words of our mouth, every day when my kids left the door, going, walking out the door to go to school, and to this day, I still do it. When I talk to them on the telephone, I speak to them, Bradley, you're the head and not the tail. Remember today, you are above and not beneath. Remember the grace and the favor of God is upon you today. Expect his favor. I mean, I just began speaking that stuff over them every day from this age. I'm telling you, from this age when they were just little and they didn't hardly understand what I was saying. You know, he can understand a ferrous cloud in the cigar. And he will always remember Psalm 91 because of that cloud. But you see, that took a natural thing and brought it right into the supernatural thing in his life. See, and that's what mothers are so good at. We can take the everyday thing. It's like mixing, making a cake. And we're beating up this cake. And I'm making it with Tracy. And she's sitting there. And Bradley's sitting here. And it's like they're beating up this cake. And it's like they're all waiting for to lick the bowl. You know, your kids want to lick the bowl. And it's like you're mixing up. And you know what the scripture that comes to my mind? Is Hebrews 4:1, where it says.
4:2. And the word which was spoken to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it.
So, here's the thing. I take this cake and I'm mixing it. Now, if you don't take the word of God and mix it in your mouth, your tongue is the egg beater, and you mix the word of God and you speak the word of God out over your kids and out over your family, it doesn't profit you a single thing. Like a hill of beans, it's not worth a dime. It's not worth anything. If it's just in your head and just in the Bible, it's not worth a thing. But you've got to bring it out of your mouth and you've got to speak it out of your mouth for your kids to hear it. So here I am mixing a cake and it's the word of God. And I'm mixing the word and I'm speaking the word and I'm speaking the word. And the kids are seeing, yeah, the word of God's got to be spoken. And all I'm doing is mixing a cake. But what am I doing? I'm teaching them to speak. Bradley, this is your egg beater right here. See what mom, see this whisk mom's doing? That's your egg beater. Now when you speak the word of God, that's what you're doing. You're mixing faith into your life. And if you don't mix faith into your life, you got one hell of a mess of a cake. If you all you do is put flour and sugar and butter and eggs and you stick it in the oven and you never mix it, you haven't got a cake. Oh, isn't this good? Oh, I feel it. I mean, I'm just letting it go down into your spirit. But I'm telling you, moms, dads, you got to take the word of God and stick it in your mouth and mix it so that your kids can eat the fruit of your life, but that your kids can learn that that's where faith comes out of them is when they take their tongue as an egg beater and they take the word of God and they begin to speak it. You see, it's an everyday thing. I made a cake, but I taught my kids how to speak. It's everyday living. So as I got to grow in hearing his voice, the Spirit of God said to me, teach your children through your life how to hear his voice. what to do. How to recognize the voice of a stranger, the voice of those kids picking up green, you know, pears and throwing them at and having a war like John spoke about. That's the voice of a stranger. Or taking the word of God and saying, this is the voice of the Spirit and I know it. So, here's the important thing. I had to learn that I had to get into my children's space. 7 years old, we just walked into Kmart. And some of you have heard me give this illustration. And he went to the toys and he picked up a G.I. Joe man. And he wanted me to buy this G.I. Joe. It was $6.99. And I remember him following me around. And I don't even know what I went into Kmart for. But I was amongst the petticoats and the dresses. And he found me and he had this G.I. Joe behind his back. And I thought, oh my word, I've got to buy him this G.I. Joe. Because if I don't, it'll be a big crying match. And he'll just be miserable. And it's just like, and the Holy Spirit said, teach him to hear my voice. So I said, Brad, you know what? If God wants you to have this G.I. Joe, I want to buy it for you. But let's ask him if this is his will. Now, this is a big test. I mean, this is a big test for me, and it's a big test for him. So, Brad, why don't you just go walk amongst the petticoats over there and ask God if this is what he wants you to have. And if he says yes, we'll buy it. Well, after about a minute, he comes back. You know, a minute is a long time for a seven-year-old walking amongst petticoats. So he comes back after about a minute, and he says, I didn't hear a thing. I mean, immediately, it was like, help God. You know, one of those telegraph prayers that we are so good at as mothers. Help God. Tell me, what do I do now? And the Spirit of God spoke so clearly to my spirit. He said, ask Brad to give you that G.I. Joe in the sand. I said, Brad, give me the G.I. Joe. And he put the G.I. Joe in my hand. And I said, now give me your desire in this hand. And just play. He stuck his hand in his pocket, in his jeans like this. And he pulled out and he said, here's my desire. And I said, all right, I'll hold G.I. Joe and I'll hold desire. And now you're going to ask God if this is for you or not. He went and I said, oh God, if you've ever spoken to your kid before, please speak to Bradley. I mean, I knew this was a pivotal point in his life. And so he came back 45 seconds later, smiling. I said, what did God say? He said, I don't really need that. I said, I think that's right, Brad. I don't think you do. We put the G.I. Joe down. And he skipped. He literally skipped out of Kmart. And he just bounced. He was smiling. He said, I heard God. God spoke to me, Mom, and I heard him. It was the first time that he recognized that this was God. I remember the time when, you know, it was in little things that we began, I just began to say, all right, they'd ask me, well, can I do this or can I do that? There were sometimes it was just an obvious no, but as they grew up, and like when they got to their teenage years, well, can we go and see this movie? And we'd say, why don't we ask God if you can? And they'd say, don't tell me to do that. You just tell me yes or no. It's so much easier if you just tell me yes or no. And, you know, that would have been easy. Except I said, no, let's ask God together. I'll ask him and you ask him. And the Lord will tell us. It wasn't that I was just throwing my kids out there. You go hear God for yourself. No. They were still under the umbrella of our home. And we were still guiding them. We were still training them. We were still mentoring them. We were still directing them in the right way and covering them. But we were training their spiritual ears to hear God. And so the one time, Brad, he was asked to go to a little birthday party, and the Lord said to me, ask Brad, let's pray about what we should give this boy, Nathan, for his birthday. And I said, Brad, let's ask the Lord what we're supposed to give Nathan for his birthday. This is simple stuff. He is 8 years old. And so every night, that night as we said prayers together, we'd say, Lord, would you just talk to Brad and tell him what we're supposed to buy Nathan for his birthday. Well, on the Thursday night, he said, I'm supposed to give Nathan $50. And my heart sank because he only had $56. That was his life savings. All of his pocket money, his allowance money, he'd been saving over the years. That's all he had, and he wanted to give him $50. And I said, oh, God. I said, Bradley, are you sure? He said, yes, Mom, I'm absolutely sure. So I called the mother, and I said, listen, Jan, Bradley wants to do this. This is not coming from us. We're trying to teach our kids to hear God. This is, understand this is a very big gift for an eight-year-old, but please know and receive it from whence it comes. And Bradley gave $50. You see, I had to trust God and trust the Holy Spirit that he was going to hear the Holy Spirit, but then I also had to release him to hear the Holy Spirit. And I remember the time Tracy wanted to buy a pair of Jordache jeans. And I knew in my spirit this was not God. She just wanted those jeans, those tight jeans. They were $44 and at Mervyn's, and she wanted them just because all the other kids in the school were wearing them. And we were living, real close to the edge, and $44 was a lot of money for us. And so I said, well, Trace, let's ask God if you're supposed to have them. And she said, you just don't want to buy them for me, I know. I said, no, I will buy them. If this is God, we will buy them. And we went through this whole thing. She tried them on. I said, Trace, what are you hearing? And she said, I think God told me I can have them. I said, well, all right. But in my spirit, I knew. But the Holy Spirit said to me, back off, Mom. I'm about to teach her a big lesson. See, this wasn't life and death. This wasn't like she's about to marry the wrong man. This was like, what's $44? We go out and eat as a family. We spend $44. But here is a lesson she's going to live with. And the lesson she will learn from this will train her ear for the rest of her life. So I backed off. I bought the Jordache jeans and didn't say a word. 3 days later, she came to me. She said, Mom, I blew it. I only wanted those because so-and-so had them. I really don't think I was supposed to buy it. I said, Trace, it's okay. You're forgiven. The Spirit of God loves you. And you know what? When you mess up, all you do is say, Lord, let the blood of the Lord Jesus cleanse me. And Lord, help me to hear better next time. It's as simple as that. But Tracy learned the most incredible lesson. Soon after that, she had just got her first motor car. Somebody had given her a car. Kids had learned to trust God. So for their cars. And Tracy got given a car. And John, she just, I was coming in from a meeting and John was going to a meeting. And she'd taken John to the airport. And on the way back from the airport, I wasn't yet home. Her car stopped on airport freeway, busy freeway. Here's this gorgeous 16-year-old blonde with a broken-down car. She gets out the car. She lays hands on it. She knows nothing about an engine. She speaks to it. She lays hands on it. She prays in tongues over it. She gets back in the car, and she says, God, I don't know what to do. And here comes a young man in a red pickup, and he pulls up next to her. And she looks at this, and she thinks, oh, God. And the Spirit of God spoke to her. You see, she'd learned what the voice of the Spirit sounded like. The Spirit of God said to her, be at peace. He will help you. It's okay. And the guy gets out the car, and he comes in, and he says, well, can I help you? He tried to work with the car, couldn't get it going. He says, let me take you home. She gets into the pickup, and he drives her home. When he gets home, he says to her, young lady, never do this again. Never get into a strange man's pickup. And she's just like, oh, no, I won't. When I got in from the airport, she told me about the story. I said, oh, Tracy, you didn't. She said, I did. But she said, you know what, Mom? The Spirit of God told me I could. Now, isn't that incredible? Because she'd learned to hear the Spirit's voice. So important. She's never done it since, but she's learned to hear. I remember the time our kids, John and I, were out for the evening, and they had some friends over, and they were teenagers, and they were watching a movie. And when we came home from the movie, most of the friends had left, and they came into the den, and they said, Mom and Dad, we've got something to confess to you. We watched a movie tonight that we knew wasn't right for us to watch. But because of all our friends here, we didn't have the courage to turn it off. Please, will you forgive us? She said, both Bradley and I walked out of the den and we stood outside because there were things on that movie we didn't want to see. But we should have had the courage to turn it off. Isn't that something? And immediately we said, we forgive you. But you know what? My kids have gone to movies and have got up and walked out of movies because it violates the Spirit of God within them. You see, I can't watch over everything they put in their lives. I can't watch over everything, but I can teach them to hear the voice of the Spirit. And so when it came down to Tracy dating, and we'd say, just hear the Spirit. You come home when you know you're supposed to. And she never, ever violated that except one time. Only one time. John and I would go to bed because we trusted our children and the Holy Spirit that was in our children. And the one night we'd gone to bed, it was a Friday night, she'd gone out to youth, and we woke up at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and we knew something was wrong. Went and checked Tracy's room, and she wasn't home. And we got on the telephone, and we called every one of her friends, because the Holy Spirit woke John up and told him, something's not right with your daughter. And eventually we found her, and she was talking to another youth pastor. What's up with these youth pastors? Sitting in the car in a parking lot, just talking. They were just talking. But you see, she said, Mom, Dad, I knew I should be going home, but I violated something within me. Such a big lesson. But you know what? It didn't, by us not having rules in our life, in our family, it didn't breed rebellion. It didn't breed hypocrisy. The kids were open. They didn't have to cover their sin for us. They could be open and they could be honest and they could let it all hang out because they knew we'd love them. We'd correct them. We'd talk to them. We would get in their face. We'd reason with them. We'd show them the scriptures. We'd try and direct them to the Holy Spirit of the living God. And we would bring correction by the Spirit in their lives. So important. When my children were small, and I know many of you have got small children, but I remember my dad doing this. And I don't even think he kind of even knew, you know, what he was doing. But when every night when we went to bed, my dad would come and sit on our bed. And my sister and I, we were just 21 months apart, and we shared a bedroom. And one night he'd sit on her bed, and the other night he'd sit on my bed. And he would pray with us, and he would stroke our hair until we went to sleep. Sometimes just 10 minutes. But he took individual time with each of us. And that's what I want to say to you. Take individual time with your children. Get into their world. I remember lying on the floor playing cards with Bradley. I remember John going to sit in Tracy's room and playing dolls with her. I remember us creeping under the fort. You know how kids play forts? Do your kids play forts? And they want their meals in the fort. And we would creep under there, put our head under because we were too big to get in there. And we would all eat our meal in the fort that Tracy and Bradley had built. But we got into their world. I made my children my friends. I was always, and I will always be their mother. But I'm telling you, there comes a transition when you become their friend. And they see you as a friend. And they tell you the deepest, darkest things in their life. And some things you don't even want to hear, but you listen anyway. And because they need to be able to talk. I remember the time Bradley came home and he kind of liked this one girl at school and she had just really rejected him that day. And he came in and he just threw his bag down and he lay on his bed and he was going through hormonal fog. You know, adolescence, he's 14 years old, going through just fog. Half the time he forgets things, he leaves things lying around and he's just in this fog. Those of you, you're smiling because you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't got there, you're going to get there. And the Lord, that's where you need patience and you need lots of grace to be able to lead them through this fog into the glory of the light. And it's wonderful when they come to the glory of the light. And you lead them through this fog. And I remember him just lying on his bed. He's just hopeless. He's miserable. He's raging hormones. And I just sat on his bed and I said, Brad, what's going on? Nothing. Well, did you have a bad day? Yeah. Well, and you know how you, especially mothers, you know what I'm talking about. You got to, it's like pulling hen's teeth, except that hen don't have teeth. So it's like pulling something, but eventually you got to get them to talk. Communication is the name of the game when it comes to your children. Communicate, communicate. Find out what their frustrations are. Find out what hurts them. That's why sitting around a table at supper time saying, what made your day happy today? What was the best thing that happened in your day? Getting them to talk to mom and dad, and mom and dad's going to say, oh, I can't believe you said this. I can't believe. No, no, no. Don't overreact. Let your kids find a safe place to share their heart. And that day, sitting on his bed, Bradley just poured out his heart eventually. Mom, she just told me she doesn't like me. And his heart was broken. His heart was broken because this girl had rejected his little, you know, advances. And, you know, that's very real to a 14-year-old. It's like puppy play for us, but it's real to him. And I remember just praying with him, just loving on him. He said, Bradley, it's going to be all right. Come on, you can do this. And just speaking grace and love and hope into him. But it was so important that he didn't bury that hurt, but we communicated. Find out what's going on in your children's worlds. They are intelligent kids. Kids are much smarter than we were at their age. I mean, this day and age. But talk. Get into their world. Get into their space. Take a little time. Now, if you've got 9 kids, I understand it's a little harder. You know, it takes a little more grace to be. But even if it's just 10 minutes, spend some individual time. Even if it's only when you're combing their hair, giving them individual attention, finding out what's going on in their heart, making them a friend, making them like, yes, this is my family. And this is another thing we taught our kids, to be loyal to our family. Know that when they go out of that door, that front door, they not only represent themselves, but they represent us as a family. And they represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is within them. They're representing the family of God. And we taught our kids loyalty. You don't go and teach and speak about mom and dad. And, you know, this was amazing because my kids were at Christian school and around dinner table, you know, at lunchtime, the kids were all talking about, well, my mother this and my father won't let me do that, da, 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 da. And my kids never had anything to add to that, because they would come home and say, you know what, I think we've got the best mom and dad in the whole wide world. And they would in fact even say that to their friends, so that their friends wanted to come to our house and see what makes mom and dad special. And we were just ordinary people. We put our britches on. I got frustrated. I got angry. Sometimes I did slap my kids and I was flat mad at them. But you know what, that's when I got to go to them and say, you know, I blew it. And I'm sorry, please forgive me. It's okay to apologize to your kids. It really is. It's okay to humble yourself and say, you know, I didn't quite hear God in this. Please forgive me too. But I'm telling you, the respect and the honor started at home. I heard Tracy say this. She said, you know, I never wanted to disobey mom and dad, not because I feared what they would do for me, but she said, because I didn't want to hurt them. She had so grown to love us and respect us. She didn't want to hurt us. And she said, I wanted to please them. Not because I feared that if I didn't, they would not love me. I knew they always would. But she said, I loved them so much. And I respected them so much. I didn't dare be cheeky or sassy or talk back to them. And that's the result you want in all your training. In teaching your kids respect and honor for mom and dad. But you see, as you teach them respect and honor for mom and dad, you're really teaching them respect and honor for God. That's the bottom line. So that when God speaks to them, they're quick to obey. That when God speaks to them, they don't come back and say, yes, but Lord, I think, I wonder. And they talk themselves right out of it. But they're quick to obey because you're training your kids in your home through their relationship with you to begin to relate to God in a wonderful way. So that when he speaks, they're quick to obey. Okay, so we never set boundaries, but we did set, never set rules, but we did set boundaries. Spanking versus grounding. Now let me just say this. So often when a kid is little, it doesn't mean a thing to them to ground them. They need a good spanking. I mean, You know, really. There are some times now, like for Tracy, it was a national disaster when we spanked our kids. That's what I just want to tell you. They didn't get spankings every day. They just didn't do that. Because it was a big deal when they got a spanking. I'm telling you, Daddy came in and he closed the door. And he sat on their bed. And he knelt down beside them. And we talked through the whole aspect of what they'd done wrong. We had a little, we talked through this whole sucker. I mean, they got to see why they did what they did. They got to present their side of the case. But they also got to be trained into what we're going to do is going to help them. And you know that little thing about, you know, it hurts me more than it hurts them. You know what really did? I could see the tears in John's eyes when he had to spank the kids, because it really did hurt him. He didn't want to spank them, but there were times that they needed a spanking. And let me tell you, I see many kids running around churches who my hand is itching to spank, because all they're wanting is some borders. Kids need some guidelines. Moms, I'm telling you, don't be afraid to spank, but don't spank him. You know your kids. Like I said, Bradley hardly ever had a spanking, because just one look would correct him. Just one word, and there was repentance that would rise up in him. I mean, it wasn't just because he was found out, but there was genuine repentance. But Tracy needed a few more of them spankings, and she got them, and we weren't afraid of them. But as they got older, spanking wasn't the way. And sometimes grounding was the way. Sometimes it was to turn off the TV for a week. A friend of mine, precious, one of my best friends, her name is Jenny, and she just loves the Lord, and we've just grown and walked along this path of the Spirit so much together. She did this with her kid. He was 13 years old, and she was having a terribly hard time disciplining him. And he was just wayward. And whatever she did, whatever she said, he would go the other way. And she cried out to God and said, God, what do I do with Chris? And the Lord spoke this to her. And I'm not telling any of you to do this, please. But the Lord spoke this to her. He said, Jenny, take Chris into the room, because he just disobeyed her again. She took Chris into the room, and they used to use a belt. And she gave Chris the belt. And she said, Chris, everything I've done has not wrought change in you. Now, Chris, I am going to take your punishment, just like Jesus took our punishment of sin on the cross so that we could be without sin. She said, I'm going to take your punishment. So I want you to take the belt. And I want you. I'm going to lay off this bed. And I want you to beat me. Chris cried. He was, I can't believe this. Mother, I'll never do that. Yes, you will, Chris. Because I'm going to take your punishment, and you do understand that what you've done deserves punishment. Yes. So therefore, Chris, take this belt, and I'm taking your punishment. I want to tell you, that was a life-changing experience for Chris. That little rebellious booger was absolutely broken inside. He took that belt, and he just like, I can't do this, Mother. She said, yes, you can, Chris. I'm taking your punishment, just like Jesus took your punishment, and you'll never do this again. He cried. He sobbed out loud as he took that belt, and he put it on his mother's back, bottom. But that boy was forever changed. Now, that's pretty radical, and I'm not telling any of you to do that. I don't want any of you to do that unless the Holy Spirit tells you to do that. But that's what God told Jenny to do. So when our kids, you know, had this wonderful green pear war in the backyard with these two wild kids, the Lord told John we were to take the punishment along with our kids. And the punishment we dealt to the children affected our whole family. Affected our whole family. And our kids were broken, because they had allowed rebellion into their lives. But we all took it. We all turned the TV off for a week. We all got out there and picked up the green pears all over the yard. We all worked together in the punishment. That spoke more to our children than if I'd spanked them black and blue. If I'd spanked them, it would have just caused rebellion to rise up in them. But you know what? We all, you see, that's the key, hearing the Spirit of God. Keeping the goal in view as to why I'm disciplining and training this child. The goal is that they might be like Jesus, that they might hear His voice, that there might be an oak of righteousness. So if this is the offense and this is what they've done, how can I best reach this goal? Hearing the Spirit of God, even in discipline. So important. One other thing I just want to add here. Because we never had rules and we had boundaries, there were times when, you know, the kids were, they just knew, we don't live in, our house is not a mess, it's not a pigsty, we have a house picked up, we have, it's not spotless, it's not a show home, it is a home. I'm not a perfectionist in my home, my kids are allowed to play and they're all allowed to mess up their rooms, you know, that's their home. But there were times when it's like, it's time to tidy up. And we all work together in this house. Now, I think John will deal with this some tomorrow, but we had to realize that our kids are not our servants. Kids are children, are children, not servants. So they never had chores. We never said, all right, this is your chore, that's your chore. If they weren't, they are not our servants. We would say, we all work together in this house to make this house flow together. So if the garbage needs to be taken out, I might take it out, John might take it out, the kids might take it out. And as they were growing up, it's like, let's do it together because I'm training my kids together. So if my kids make a tremendous mess in their room and they built this incredible fort, but it's time to tidy up, I don't just say to my kids, well, go tidy up your room. It's like it's too big for them. It's a mountain that they don't even know where to start to begin to tidy up. So mom will get down there and we will work together. And I realize that as I'm working together, I'm teaching my kids how to be neat. I'm teaching my kids respect for their property. I'm teaching my kids to put things back where they were. I'm teaching Lego, you know, my kids grew up with Lego. We had this big sack of Lego. And when they played Lego, it would be all over the whole wide world. And it's like, you tell a five-year-old to pick up all this Lego. They don't even know where to start. It's like a mountain. But mom, usually it was dad who played Lego. I didn't really play. They would, three of them would get down together and they would work together. I never just said to my kids, go rake the leaves outside or go mow the yard or cut the grass. We did it together because otherwise it's like they're the servant and mom and dad are sitting there drinking tea and watching TV and I am mowing the grass. I'm raking the leaves. That's my chore. I mean, it's just like yuck. And then we pay our kids to do that. We didn't do that either. We worked together as a family because they were part of this family. They were an integral part of this family. And we all worked together to make it work. I remember the times when my kids weren't just said, well, it's your turn to do the dishes tonight. We never did that either. It was like I started this slowly and sometimes it took, sometimes it didn't. Who's the Lord telling that's going to do the dishes tonight? Well, it's not me, thank goodness. I mean, you know. But we did. We did do this, didn't I? I mean, I'm not telling you a lie. I did this. Well, is the Lord, Tracy, Brad, Dad, Mom, who's the Lord telling to do the dishes tonight? And we'd all sit. And then one of the kids would say, I think it's me, Mom. I said, okay, come on, I'll help you. Let's do it together. And it became a wonderful friendship time with Tracy, teaching her. We all took plates off the table. I mean, that was just part of life. But to actually do the dishes, we did it together. It wasn't like, whose turn is it? Well, you get paid 50 cents a week, so it's your turn. No, we did it together. We made family life a together thing. And all through our family life, we were teaching, we were training how to make your bed, how to tidy up your bedroom, how to do the dishes, how to rake the leaves, how to do a good job at sweeping out the kitchen. But you see, I didn't just tell them to go do it. We did it together. See, that's why it's hard. If you are called to be a mother, then you're called to be a mother. You give your life, you lay down your life to teach your children and to train them and to nurture them in the ways of the Lord. So that was just one of the things that we trained our kids so that when my Tracy, came to being married. I'm telling you, she never did have cooking lessons. She would help me stir the custard or stir the gravy or whatever, and she would help me cook. But it's like when she got married, I'm telling you, it's amazing the stuff that's in her life that I didn't actually teach her. She learned by watching. She just learned by watching. She's a wonderful little wife. Not because I've been a wonderful wife, but because, you know what? She's learned by watching, and those values have been born into her. So that when I look at her and I think, yes, God, I did something right by your spirit and by your grace, and I thank you for that. Do you know what? I really believe one of the things we want to do tomorrow is just pray for you and have an impartation. Because we believe in impartation. That we, as we pray for you and release anointing and impart onto you wisdom, patience, grace, just that you'll have that same thing to be able to pass on to your children. Is that okay? Father, I bless you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful truths in your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are such a patient Father with each of us. I thank you, Lord, that you slowly train us and you never give up on us, but you're growing us and you're changing us and we're becoming more and more like Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that our children are too. I thank you for these precious lives that you've placed in the sphere of our influence. And oh God, we want to be so faithful to hear your voice. And to train up these precious children in your ways, to know the loving heart of the Father, and to be kind, gentle, generous adults, so that they can grow up in the wonderful nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, I speak your grace upon moms and dads here today. I thank you, Lord, that you don't expect us to be perfect, but that's why the blood of Jesus is always there for us. But Lord, I thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit to come and live within us, to speak to our hearts and to speak through us. And I thank you, Lord, that child raising can be the most exciting adventure of our lives. And I thank you for that. Now, Lord, I just speak your grace upon these precious moms and dads. And I speak life into them, wisdom upon them, and your grace and your favor to be in their homes. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.